This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. The clock is ticking for CARES Act grants, which are set to run out at the end of the month. In Fresno, these funds helped to finance the COVID-19 Equity Project, a network of community-based organizations providing COVID assistance to vulnerable communities. To find out what will happen to this project if the federal government fails to provide more funding, I spoke with Pao Yang, president and CEO of the Fresno Center, Sherry Cruz, director of public relations at the Fresno Center, and Tanya Pacheco-Werner, co-assistant director of the Central Valley Health Policy Institute.
Tanya, my understanding is that you helped to design the COVID-19 Equity Project. Tell us about the model and how it works.
The model is designed as a community-based model where we lean on the expertise of community members so that we can have people from the community, organizations that already know and work day in, day out with the community to actually help those that need the message right now. So what that means is that the community-based organizations hire what are called community health workers, who are people from these communities, and they are trained by us at Fresno State in curriculum about COVID, contact tracing, and ongoing modules as new information comes out, so that they have all of the tools necessary to go out and help community get the information they need. And in addition, we are integral to the testing infrastructure in the county by coordinating and co-sponsoring mobile testing events in those most impacted neighborhoods, in addition to working with the county to be additional contact tracers and help get to the community faster when they do present positive.
Pao Yang, you're president and CEO of the Fresno Center. Can you speak to some of the challenges that you encounter as it pertains to doing this kind of outreach to the communities you serve?
Yeah, thank you. I want to thank Dr. Pacheco for her explanation of the design of the program, which is an amazing design because it allows the community-based organization. There's 21 of us that are in this collaboration, and We've been working with the community for almost 30 years. So we provide services to this community of color. And for us, in our part on this particular project, we're tasked to provide education services to the Southeast Asian community. The challenge that we face is the lack of knowledge in the community of what to do, when to go get tests, what symptoms do you look for, and the CDC guidelines, the public health guidelines, even though the general information is out there, the community that we serve, the community of color, they don't have access to it. They don't know how to read the information properly, or they're getting an interpretation of it from a different source. So we're encountering a lot of that. One other issue that we encounter is a lot of the families that we work with, because the culture, the ethnic culture is so family-oriented where they gather, and if one person is infected, the whole family is infected. And our contact tracer at these testing sites, they're approached by one person who says, you know what, my whole family is infected because we did a birthday, you know. These are concerning. It's alarming, especially in the Southeast Asian community. We have funerals that are coming up. We have funerals that have been done, and folks are being infected from the funerals, the gathering. So these are things that we're out there. We're trying to stop the spread, and part of it is educating them. But being bold and letting them know that, you know, we can be fearless of this virus, but guys, we can't be reckless. We can still you know, go on with our life, but let's not be reckless. So we're encountering a lot of folks not understanding the CDC guidelines, and we're trying to educate them on that. And then encountering a lot of folks that are infected, and they can't isolate themselves because of multiple generation living under one roof. So these are things that we are encountering, especially in our community of colors, not just in the Southeast Asian, but in our, the community and the low-income community that we serve.
Sherry Cruz, can you just elaborate on this? Given your work with the Fresno Center as well, can you speak to the scope of this project and how many people you have been able to touch and what their needs are?
Right. So I'm partly overseeing this project along with our CEO. Thank you, Powell, for your description. We do have a team of six who are out in the community doing education at COVID testing sites, as well as setting up other opportunities, whether it's virtual, to reach our population the best that we can with COVID education, what to do if you are around someone who's been infected or has symptoms. We're doing a lot of work around how to advise people with what quarantine is and how to properly quarantine. We also have additional resources that if a family member has been impacted or lost their job by the COVID pandemic, then they can apply for additional resources that will help them with rent assistance, PG&E. We're really trying to help folks during this holiday stay in their home and stay safe. And as Pal mentioned, we have multi-generational families. And so we have to not only educate the one individual, but the whole entire family. So we're doing a lot of outreach to family members over the phone to educate them on the importance of washing your hands and using hand sanitizers. We're giving out free masks. We were part of a million mask giveaway initiative here in Fresno, working with the Fresno Chamber of Commerce. And we have actually educated 12,597 members as of today in looking at our efforts here in the county. It includes contact tracing. It includes health education outreach, isolation and quarantine support. So we're very excited that we've actually been able to assist families in our community with $22,000 of relief money to support them. As again, many folks have lost their jobs, they've been impacted by the pandemic in a very negative way. You've seen it in our community. Businesses have shut down or temporarily closed. These are our mom and pops, particularly here in Southeast Fresno community. So we want to reach out to them and provide them also other assistance to financially and social and emotional support as well as we're going through this pandemic.
Powell, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, part of this COVID equity project is one services from the CARES Act funding. And here at the Fresno Center, well, we also provide the food distribution, so weekly food distribution to 1,600 families every week. We also provide housing assistance. It's part of the CARES Act funding from the city of Fresno. And so far, we've been able to help 200 households for a total of $500,000 in support. And the need is still so great. We have hundreds of applications to still go through. And these fundings are going to end at the end of the month. But folks are still going to be hungry. Folks are still going to need housing assistance beyond this year. These are things that we have to continue to look at. And Sherry mentioned a little bit about the mental health, the depression, what's going on in our community, the PTSD, folks that have been infected, survivors, what's going on with the survivors. So there's so much that we need to focus on and work on. And I know that Dr. Pacheco, that's on her radar. And she is an excellent champion for that as well.
Yes, Tanya Pacheco-Werner, Co-Assistant Director of the Central Valley Health Policy Institute. Let's talk about the funding. How reliant is the COVID-19 Equity Project on CARES Act funding? And what's going to happen to the project, you know, if the funding dries up at the end of the month?
When we embarked on this journey, one of the reasons why I was so excited to engage community-based organizations is because they were already being the ones tapped by the official agencies at the state and local level to get this information out to community. And the equity piece of it is not just for those that are being impacted by COVID, but for these organizations that are often stretched in funding and always make it, you know, work miracles with what they do. So funding to the community-based organizations is to hire these community health workers to do the programs is really, really key. One of the things that's important for me right now is that, you know, we haven't had a federal response beyond the CARES Act to really help us see what will happen beyond the end of the year. And so the county has been great in working with us about really extending what they've already allocated to us to continue to spend that beyond 2020. But it's only the funds that we already had budgeted. So what that means is that when those funds run out, the program doesn't really have the capability to continue at the same level unless we see more federal response dollars come down to the state and county level to continue this type of work into the vaccine phase, although we are still very much in the COVID phase as well.
Pao Yang, what goes through your mind as you read the headlines and follow the conversation taking place in Washington about potentially passing another relief package?
You know, what goes through my mind is a big smile outside of my, in front of my face about it, but I'm concerned of the time frame that it's taken to even get to the point where it's at in terms of the talks in Washington, D.C. Most of us that are in the front line, we see it every day. The lines that are lining up to get food, to get tested. We had a testing here at the Asian Village with Firm and the King's Winery, and our CEP collaboration was there, and we only had 80 tests, and we had like hundreds of people lining up for it. We have another test here at the Fresno Center for tomorrow. We only have 200 tests. We're probably going to have 500 people show up. I'm concerned. We serve 1,600 boxes of food every week. Elected officials are out with us distributing the food. The coalition is out here helping with contact tracing and education. We're temperature checking everybody before they can come up to get their box of food. We have hundreds of cars lining up to get food. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that, you know, time is not on our side. You saw the surge in our community. So many folks are impacted by this this virus. So many folks, my immediate family has passed away from this virus. And I've shared with the team, I myself is a survivor. I caught this virus back in July. And it hit me hard. It took 2 weeks for me to just recover. Right now we're in December. I just stopped losing my hair just 2 weeks ago, you know, and that's why I'm speaking as a survivor. I did two recordings for the governor's office to my Hmong community, as well as the larger community to on how to stop the spread of this COVID-19 virus, you know, and as a survivor, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Why are we, you know, 9 months into it and our folks are still suffering and the surge is still coming? So that's where I'm at.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that you had to battle this virus, and I'm happy that you have recovered when so many people have not. It's just really scary times. And, you know, right now we're at a place where we're seeing cases surge, but this glimmer of hope with a vaccine down the road. But of course, we know that that's months away. So Sherry Cruz, in your work with the Fresno Center, what role do you anticipate your organization is going to play in the months to come. As this response to the coronavirus shifts, how do you see your work evolving to meet the needs of the community?
Well, fortunately, I'm integrally involved with the CARES Act projects that we have here, our housing assistance program, our food distribution, also our COVID equity project. We also have a partnership with UCSF, which is Cultural Humility Project, where we're learning about curriculum and being able to expand our teaching to our community. We do not see those programs as ending, although we do have a threat of some funds ending at the end of the month, December 30th, but the need is so great. So my role is twofold, to continue managing those staff and increasing the visibility of those programs so we can serve as many as we can while we have the funds, but also working with our CEO, Powell, here to get the word out that we are going to need to leverage the support we currently have to extend. We plan on this work continuing on through June as we're still in the pandemic. And, we really want to plead to our community to, get behind us. And we have opened up a gratitude fund this year just to help us with relief efforts to especially reach the hardest serving population that we can reach, that sometimes the funds that we do have within the city or the county can't support everybody the way we would like. And so we do have a giving program that we just recently launched. And so we're very excited that Amazon has come alongside with us recently with a small donation, $25,000. And I think that that's going to hopefully provide the community more opportunity to get involved and get behind us as we try to figure out how we're going to continue the continuity services all the way through June. So I think partly my role will be not just the managing of the program, but also in my public relations role. And I want to plea, and we're so fortunate to have the opportunity to work with you all today and local media to let folks know that we are an organization that is looking for more support. And Anthem has come alongside recently as well. They've been supporting our flu clinics, and we have been able to get involved with assisting folks right here in the community and outside in our parking lot and safely done so to help folks get the vaccine for that. And down the road, we would love to be a site to have the vaccine for COVID-19. I think that that's an area we are looking at now. And we do have the population, and we are centrally located here. So with Anthem also, we're looking at hopefully getting some funds with them for a mobile unit. We're in conversation now to be able to even go out beyond our community, even to the rural community, to do some outreach, education, some health screening. And that'll include mental health, because our folks are suffering right now with lots of anxiety and loss and depression because of the pandemic. And so we are actually, working on, again, formulating a campaign around gratitude. And we want to make sure that folks that have support us know that we do feel very grateful. And in return, we want to continue to support this community with high need, high risk, hard to reach, and very vulnerable.
Tanya Pacheco-Werner, I want to give you the last word. We just have a couple minutes before we need to wrap up. I want to get back to funding. Is there a possibility that there are local funds or state funds that could step in the event that the federal funds fall flat?
Right now, the idea of additional funds, we'd love to be able to see if there's flexibility at the state level. What's important to think about when we're thinking about what's possible at the local level is that really the public health infrastructure at the local level, because of how it's worked just nationally over the past few decades, is all public health departments have been running on shoestring budgets. And so I would definitely not discard it as an option and a hope. But we're really trying to fight,
just decades of lack of investment. And so to try to bring it up to the level that's needed to respond to a pandemic is really difficult. I will say, though, that there are new opportunities. The COVID Equity Project is going to be an integral piece of the vaccine rollout locally, again, because of the distress and the lack of language access, cultural access about vaccines. So we are in the process now of developing a whole new set of training modules for our nearly 100 community health workers to go through about the vaccine, about messages about the vaccine, about the science, so that they are ready and equipped to go out into the community and provide them that information. And so I do think that there's lots of work for us to do and opportunities, whether it be on the pandemic response or on the vaccine front. And hopefully, even if we can see our community benefits funding partners at the hospital levels, I know that they're really stressed. But if they could see a vision and role for the community health worker model into this next phase, I can really see an opportunity there as well.
Well, Tanya Pacheco-Werner, co-assistant director of the Central Valley Health Policy Institute, Sherry Cruz, director of public relations at the Fresno Center, and Pao Yang, president and CEO of the Fresno Center, thank you for taking the time to talk with us, and thank you for all you're doing to serve the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.